get the Phillies feeling. You can see it, you can hear it, you can feel it, it's alive.
Veterans Stadium, Philadelphia, Friday night, August 21st, the Bull Blast returns. Greg Luzinski and Dick Allen in a home run contest. The Dully in Philly between games of the Phils Dodgers twi-nighter.
It's alive.
Okay, su guitarra.
Okay, so let's start with this. What's your name?
Q-Tip.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to I Left My Wallet. I'm Antonio the Promise Thomas, also known as Thomas Santel, and I want to thank you for tuning in today because we got Bryce Remsburg, AEW ref, and just a great guy, all around fantastic guy. I've known Bryce for, it seems my whole wrestling career, probably 15 years at least, 12 years maybe. We met probably at Chikara first and then crisscrossing all around the Northeast. And Bryce is just one of the happiest guys you can meet. Always a smile on his face, always in a good mood. Had the pleasure of having him ref many of my matches. And it was great catching up with him, now seeing him on a national and worldwide platform. And talking some baseball, talking some minor league baseball, talking his beloved Phillies. As you could hear by that intro, I had to play that. Such a wrestling feel to that Bull Blast commercial at the beginning of the show. But you're going to enjoy this episode with Bryce. It's about a half hour. Very fun. We kind of got hijacked at the end by one Sydney Bacabella. Yes, Sydney Bacabella. Many of you know, been on the show many times. Chikara personality, former Chikara personality, and voice of Beyond Wrestling, along with Paul Crockett. Kind of hijacked at the end, so I had to edit this up to make it sound as clean as possible. But nonetheless, you're going to enjoy this episode. But before we listen to Bryce and myself talk some baseball, I want you to go to the board. I want you to look up the Left My Wallet Bryce Remsburg thread. Leave a comment. Let me know what you thought of this episode, what you think of older episodes, the show in general. Let me have it. Let me know what I can improve. Let me know who you want to hear on the show. Also, you can go to my Twitter at Promise Thomas or my Thomas Santel Twitter at Retro Grappler. Hit me up there. Leave a comment. Say hi. Give me a follow. Whatever the hell you want. It's up to you. It's up to you now to listen intently. Open up those ears. Bryce Remsburg and I have a great conversation about baseball with one of AEW's own referees. Here he is. Enjoy.
If I say damn or hell, it's not a problem anymore. So it's kind of great.
Yeah. And I get it now that I'm going to be expecting, you know, a son in September. I got to leave out the cursing, even though he won't know what I'm saying, but you know, Abby, with a 5-year old and a 10 month old.
A line changes where you can see they start to understand. You're like, oh boy, and start to watch it. I know some couples have practiced when they were pregnant, just like gotten them out of their system. And I totally get it. Yeah. I really only curse around wrestlers. I feel like that's just the way my life is. Like I've my brain separates the worlds now.
When guys are calling a match or girls, they'll hang out and just kind of hear what's going on and whatnot. And especially in wrestling, it's like, I'll fucking hit you with this. And
right,
I'll fucking,
right. Oh,
the,
no, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And it's like.
Especially like around Nick Gage and Janela and like GCW. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'll fucking do this. I'll fucking do that. You've spent plenty of time around Nick. You get the deal.
Oh,
like,
yeah. That's
it's
my.
It's a term of endearment. You know what I mean? Like, there's no, he means nothing by it.
Oh, yeah. But every, yeah, exactly. It's a common adjective, probably his most common adjective. It's like, it goes good, fuck yeah, or like,
yeah,
fuck.
It's replacing gimmick, or we have something in Philly called like John. It's like a catch-all.
Yeah, and it was funny because, so I want to get to when we were Trios partners with Sidney Bacabella at the trivia at King of Trios. But the night before, I teamed with Nick Gage and Chris Statlander, and it was so unique seeing Nick Gage in Chikara. And there was a full disclaimer in the pre-show meeting. And he's like, I got it. You were good. We're good. I got it. In a loving way, but
he's a pro. He's a pro, man.
Him and Steiner were in the same match. And there was,
But yeah, Nick's a pro. He I had a podcast with Quack for a while, and we were like putting over how great Nick was, and like how he like what a charismatic performer he is. And I was walking out of a show once. He's like, "Hey, I want to talk to you." And I was like, "Oh God, what do you want, Nick?" He's like, "I heard you to put me over on your podcast. I really fucking appreciate it, bro." I was like, "Oh, no problem, Nick. Like, buddy." And, you know, like he's the man. He loves wrestling. I've listened to him call matches where he's talking about like Ricky Morton and like Tully Blanchard spots.
Yeah.
Like he gets it. He loves it. He's awesome.
He'll be like, "Hey, let's do that." What's that thing that FTR does? And it's like, oh, the Shatter Machine or the Goodnight Express. Yo, fuck yeah. What's that thing Eminem used to do? He goes, I just fucking take moves and fucking, you know, the people pop, man. The people fucking pop on that shit. They know. I'll do a fucking stunner. And it's like.
He knows what he's doing. He knows exactly. Nobody else in the world could be Nick Gage.
Exactly. I've said it before. I go, Nick, you're the fucking, nobody can do Nick Gage any better than you. You
are
one of a kind.
It's like Orange Cassidy. No one else in the world could be Orange Cassidy. It's a perfect moment in time. Like that human exhibits that character, and that's just how it is. Like you can't imagine anyone else pulling that off.
Yeah. And I worked with Orange Cassidy that Thursday, then we had the trios match with Nick Gage Saturday. And then, did a World of Sports style match that Saturday. So it was a little bit of everything we just spoke about in these first 5 minutes was all encompassing for that weekend. It was a full weekend, a complete weekend that week.
Right. No, but, those crazy weekends, the ones you'll remember forever.
And that weekend, during the day on Saturday at King of Trios, we did a trivia contest. It was you, me, Sidney Bacabella, and I think I was very, very disappointed. We came in second, and I don't know how that happened. But I don't know how much you remember of it. But I think the answer that screwed us over was it was a question about SummerSlam 2010 with the Nexus versus WWE team, the 7-on-7 match.
Yeah.
And I think we got like 4 or 5 because we're like, who the hell was in that mat? Like we could name all a Nexus, but there was someone that got every single one of them right. And I can't remember.
Was it a fan?
It was a group of fans. Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Well, good for them. That's like my blind spot. Like, I feel like once I got in wrestling, I stopped really watching it. Like all my WWE memories are like from the clear ones are from like before I started refereeing, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, good for them. Good for
what
those
do
fans.
You know, there's trivia nights everywhere you know, when things were regular before COVID, and now that things are opening up again, you ever stumble across any like wrestling trivia nights or
no? That's surprising to me actually. There's a guy in Philly that was always wanting to put together like he was a Chikara fan and he wanted to like put together a Chikara and trivia thing, but he always just talked about it, never actually happened. But I would love to do that. I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah,
let me know when you find one. Let's go.
I will.
You and me and Bacabella will ringer the shit out of it.
You, me, and Bacabella. Absolutely. We got to get, I'll call Meltzer. I'll say, this show is
That's
on
right.
his site. I'll get him on and try to
That's right. That's
be
right.
our ringer.
Oh, God.
We've done a ton of shows together, and I've seen you a lot. You have a Philadelphia Phillies hat on, so I'm like, you did at certain points, correct? It was a, I believe it was a Phillies hat, and I'm like,
no, it was, it sure was.
I'm like, sport. Every time I go to a show, it's like, who's a sports fan? Who's not? And I saw that. I go, he's got to be a Philly sports fan. So that's why I originally reached out to you, because I'm like, we got to talk some Philly sports here. But you mentioned, but you said my knowledge of sports is pretty limited. So I want to ask you straight up, like, what is your Philadelphia general sports fandom? We'll get to the minor league baseball in a minute, but I want to know. I'm guessing from Pennsylvania, and at least know of and follow Philly sports a little bit.
Sure. Oh no. Yeah, sure. I lived in Philadelphia for 15 years. And then I just recently 2 years ago moved out to the suburbs of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where we have our own minor league team. But I really kind of got wrapped. I always loved baseball as a kid. It was my favorite sport because I'm very unathletic. Hmm. And that is the one that I most identified with. Like I can't dunk a basketball, and I can't run a 100-yard touchdown. No, not that I know of. Maybe on my son's little mini one.
Yeah.
But I could, like, you know, when I look at, like, catchers, these stocky dudes, like, I was like, oh, maybe I could do that. So I did baseball when I was a kid. Turns out I was so unathletic, I got to stand in right field 2 innings a game and just kind of, like, pray the ball wasn't hit to me. I remember, like, having, like, that very clear feeling because I didn't want to, like, let down my team or my dad or whatever. And but when I moved to Philly, around the time I graduated college is when the Phillies started to get good. 06, 07, they won the World Series in 08.
Yep.
And I kind of became caught up in not so much, yes, following the Phillies, but the sport of watching the Phillies with your friends in a bar.
Yeah.
And we had a place called Murph's Pub in Fishtown in Philadelphia, and it became our good luck charm. It was our cheers. We knew all the bartenders. We knew it was a small place, and we became superstitious. When we went there, the Phillies won. So they went to the playoffs, and the whole run of their 08 World Series, I watched every playoff game at the same table, at the same bar at Murph's Pub in Fishtown in Philadelphia. And I still know the guy that owns it. I was in there last year before the pandemic. Like, I still love going to Murph's. It's now they sell amazing Italian food, and they used to sell $1 Lion's Head beers. And Lion's Head, I don't know if you have that in New England, but it's you know, an eighth of a notch above PBR on the beer hierarchy. It's not good beer. but when you're 24 years old and you don't have a lot of money, it's perfect. It hits the spot. So the night that I got together with who's now my wife was the night that the Phillies were in Game 5 of the World Series, and there was a rain delay. So they were going to win the World Series that night, and it rained and the game paused. And she had to fly back to San Francisco to be back with her friends. So they ended up winning the World Series 2 days later on Halloween 2008, or I don't know, it was around Halloween time.
Right.
And I just remember, like, one of the clearest memories of my life is being among the happiest I've ever been in this bar, watching the World Series that the Phillies were about to win with the woman that will become the wife and the mother of my children, all these things in 2008. And I went to the World Series parade, and I, you know, I don't watch every Phillies game religiously, but I know enough to, like, have a conversation with my father-in-law about it. What I really love about baseball, truly, and more so we'll get into minor league baseball, is going to games.
Yeah.
I don't often have the time and energy and attention span to watch a 3-hour game on TV, but going to the ballpark, like, that's very interesting to me. Baseball, something that fascinates me about baseball is every park has different dimensions. So, like, imagine if some football fields were 90 yards long and some football fields were 110 yards long, like, and some were 80 yards long. Like,
you know,
baseball stadiums are all different and they all have different character. And I'm not saying that there isn't character to hockey arenas and football stadiums and whatever, but every baseball stadium has its own charm.
Yeah.
And Citizens Bank Park in Philly became my home one. But recently, since I moved to Lancaster, I've become enamored with Oriole Park at Camden Yards in Baltimore, which is a just kind of like, was the blueprint for how modern stadiums are built. And I have made it one of my life missions to visit all 30 major league ballparks. Not because I'm the world's biggest baseball fan, because I like to travel. I like the different charm of the stadiums. And it seems like a reasonably challenging but attainable goal. So I have 27 down. I have 3 to go.
Oh, wow.
I had plans to go. Like, I'll always, like, check out my wrestling schedule. Like, you know, can I go a day early and go to a game? Can I stay late and go to a game? Blah, 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 you know. And I actually, like, took a seminar booking in St. Louis 2 years ago just so I go to a Cardinals game. Like, it all worked out.
Yeah.
I went to see the Cardinals and the Royals. I was supposed to go to the last three stadiums that I need before the pandemic started. I had it all laid out. So last summer, before my second son was born last July, I would have been able to visit all 30 stadiums. But it wasn't to be, and that's okay. I'll get there eventually. And now, even though my son is five, my oldest son is five, he loves baseball. He loves going to baseball games. The new kind of cycle is to go to all 30 ballparks with him. So wow. I've kind of started anew, and we have three down. We only have our local with Philly, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore. But okay. We are tentatively, if that... the stars align, I'm going to use my airline miles and hotel points. We're going to go to Chicago to a Cubs game this summer, but we'll see.
That's pretty good, though. You got the local ones are the last three on the list. So.
Oh, no, no. Those are my son, too. I'm sorry.
Okay.
The three that I need are Anaheim Angels, Arizona Diamondbacks, and San Diego Padres. So
okay.
Once the world opens up, if anybody wants to book me in any of those cities, we could absolutely hash out a deal. I will be hoping AEW was supposed to go out west last summer, and it didn't happen, obviously, for obvious reasons. But one day, hopefully soon, we shall make it out that way.
Yeah, Anaheim. I've been to Anaheim. I've been to Dodger Stadium. Fenway Park, obviously, which I'm not a fan of because it's so crammed and everybody since 2007, not since 2004, but since about 2007, fans have been way too spoiled, and it's more of a fans aren't there for the game. It's more of a, I've said it before on the show, it's they're there, they still think David Ortiz is playing and they just want to sing Sweet Caroline.
Sure. I'm sure now with what, 25% capacity?
Well,
same with Wrigley at Dodger Stadium, I guess, like these places that are destination visiting places.
Yeah.
It's probably got to be really hard to get tickets now because there's 25% as many available.
Well, I was telling my wife, because we get YouTube TV, so it doesn't carry NESN. So I don't get to, I'm like you, my attention span is shot. So I can't watch.
Wait till you have a kid, dude.
Oh no, I know. I put on MLB Network and I put on any other games and I watch, they'll do like the whip around, which is like NFL perfect. Red Zone. And I love that. I love that. Cause it's perfect for ADD. But,
it's like a buffet.
Yes. Yes. And, I was telling her, I was saying we were watching the White Sox and Red Sox on Fox. And I was like, look at this. Like, this is like when I was a kid, there's nobody there. And you know that those fans are true fans because it's gray and gloomy and rainy.
Sure.
And they are there. And I'm like,
April in New England is not a tropical climate.
No, it's not. You think it would be, but it really isn't. Yeah, so I might, I don't know, with the kid coming up, probably not, but that's something as he gets older, I'd love to do because we're going to have a baseball themed nursery because baseball.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, baseball like you is my favorite sport. I collected baseball cards since I was three. Wasn't very good once after middle school, but something about it I just love, and I want to see more kids get into baseball. I want to see more.
Yeah.
I want to see.
It's relatively low stakes. Like it's low, you know, like my wife and I have talked about, like, oh, what if our kid wants to play football one day? Like this, you know, concussions and hockey is really expensive and it's hard to pick up, but like baseball, you need a stick and a ball. Like I play, you know, pretend baseball with a tee and a ball and a bat with my son in the backyard after dinner, like for 5 minutes. You just pick up and go. That and maybe soccer, I guess, are the easiest two just to like plug in and give a shot to.
Basketball. And basketball too.
Yeah, true. And like baseball's like timeless, man. I don't know if you've ever been to Cooperstown to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Like, again, I'm not the world's biggest baseball fan, but I could spend all day in the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. It is fascinating. Like, so many layers of history and amazing. And I've been to the Negro Leagues Hall of Fame in Kansas City as well. If you have a good chance to go there, amazing trip. Did you do stadiums when you were touring with WWE? Did you like sync up stadiums like that? Dreamer used to do that. I know.
Dreamer did. No, we didn't. I synced up stadiums in L.A. And then Miami was the fourth one I've been to. I was there for the.
That park's kind of dreadful, man.
It is. I was there for the All-Star game and the Home Run Derby in 2017 when Aaron Judge won his rookie year.
Okay.
The only year he stayed healthy, relatively healthy.
Yeah, right.
And But no, driving by them, like driving by PNC Park or driving by Tiger Stadium. It was, I remember
Denver, Coors Field's right downtown in Denver. There yep. too. It's right like where you get off the train to come to the airport.
I had, I did some Defy shows a couple years ago and I got, I got some tickets to go see Seattle, but it didn't line up to where I got like three friends of mine out there. I got some tickets and it didn't line up to, we were doing shows in Wyoming and then like 6 hours away in Washington and I was staying in Seattle. So it didn't line up to where we could get back in time on Sunday. So
I gotta tell you, I'm also a skate collector as far as refereeing states in Wyoming. My ears perked up when you said Wyoming. There's like no indie wrestling in Wyoming. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I was Wyoming and I think Montana, because I remember.
I'd love to referee there. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, and it was like Flip Gordon's hometown, so it was like, it was it was
so
fun.
You couldn't fly there, right? Because the Earth is flat. You said you could only drive there, right?
maybe he drove there. I don't know.
Maybe he drove there. I've been the guy. This is off topic, but. When we were in Salt Lake City, Utah for AEW, I looked on a map and I realized that the Idaho state border was an hour away. So I rented a car and just drove to Idaho. When I was a kid, my dad used to say, you know, if you have a meal there, it counts in a new state. So I went and had lunch in Idaho and I drove back to Salt Lake City and went to work that day. Just because now I can say I checked Idaho off the list. Like,
nice, nice.
Weirdly brained I am. We did an Indy in Austin, Texas. So we flew into Dallas, so we go to a Rangers game, and then I drove to Oklahoma across the state border and like had lunch in Oklahoma and came back at a casino. Like this is just, you know, my priorities have shifted a little bit since I've had kids, but I used to have more.
Yeah. I think Dreamer did that. He took a show in like South Dakota that Big Time Wrestling ran, and he's like, we're in a bunch of fantasy leagues together, and he was like, I took it to. Never wrestled in South Dakota. Absolutely. That's why I did the Montana and Wyoming one.
I came in early to Minneapolis once for Eric Cannon, and I drove to North Dakota for the day, just so I could say I drove to North Dakota. You know, I was there for a half an hour, but in my brain it counts. I'd love to go back and spend more time there, but yeah, no, I get it. I understand exactly how that part of his brain works.
There's going to all these states and these, you know, places that are less populated. That those are ripe for minor league baseball teams. And you mentioned you got a team in Lancaster, the Jethawks, I believe.
We have the Lancaster Barnstormers, which is old term about, you know, back when teams used to barnstorm towns. Like
what's the movie with Richard Pryor? The barnstorming team. Do you ever see that?
It sounds good though.
It's from 1980. Right. It's somebody's gonna I'll think of it after.
Fix it in post so you don't get crucified online.
Yes. Well, I don't. No, I don't want that.
I'll talk for a while. Yeah. So we're in the Atlantic League where there's 8 teams, and for a while there was only 7, so they needed an even number of teams to have a league. So they had a team called the Road Warriors, which were not Hawk and Animal or even Draws, but they were just a team that floated, like they just slept on couches. They were always the away team. They just filled out the numbers. And this team is like the low, it's not even affiliated, it's not even like single A, double A, it's completely unaffiliated, called the Atlantic League. And it's just like low stakes, you know, $5 tickets, dollar hot dogs, bring your dog, kids run the bases after the game, like a quality night of family entertainment. There's a carousel and a playground there that my son loves to run around on. The mascot, my son loves the mascot, like minor league baseball, like major league baseball is great and I appreciate it for what it's done. But in these smaller markets, even some like bigger, like we have the Reading Fightin' Phils, the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs are the Phillies, like AA and AAA teams. They draw like big crowds, but just cheap, affordable entertainment. Like a couple summers ago, Chikara did like 7 or 8 shows either before or after minor league baseball. I was in heaven, like traveling, going, rolling up to Wilmington, Delaware with the ring. And like, oh man, it was that was the like talking to minor league baseball executives. And, you know, it's a lot like indie wrestling. Like it does not pay well. You're really in it for the love of the game. You're hoping to get the call and go up to the bigger level in the major league and actually make a living of it. But like, it's part-time, seasonal, like crappy or non-existent benefits. Like, it is amazing how much, you know, some of them have second jobs. A lot of them sell real estate,
especially
on the side,
yeah,
hours.
The independent guys. Absolutely.
Yeah. So like, it's really fascinating how those worlds kind of intersect, as you know, the players, the wrestlers, what we would change in these dugouts. These dugouts were like not huge and spacious major league dugouts. Like now in my new life, I've been lucky enough to, I've changed in NFL locker rooms, NBA locker rooms, these great giant spacious, these amazing showers, there's ice baths, everything. But it makes me appreciate that so much more, because I've also changed in like the literal dirt floors in the Trenton Thunders, you know, underneath their stands where the away team changes, yeah, or whatever, or in the mascot closet. You know what I mean? Like, I'm fascinated with those worlds, those lives, all the gimmicks they get to get people in, like cowboy monkey rodeos and fireworks night every week. And just like that as that so like strikes the gimmicky independent wrestling part of my brain that I love so much. And it's especially now I have a even deeper appreciation for it now that I have a kid. And it's just like, you go to the game, the kid has a meltdown, whatever. You spent $10 on tickets, you spent $3 yeah. bucks on hot dogs, you spent $3 on a beer, go home, call it a night, no big deal. It's yeah. not like you spent $80 to sit in the nosebleeds at Fenway and you're committed to making this work, you know? Like, it's really, really great. And last year there was no minor league baseball, and it's kind of like those, you don't know what you got till it's gone. There was Major League Baseball on TV, but you couldn't go to the games. There's no crowds. It wasn't the same. But like, Minor League Baseball opens this coming Tuesday, whenever this airs. But Tuesday, May 4th is the opening, yes, of Minor League Baseball season.
Yep.
I could not be more excited. I'm like, I've already been scoping schedules and calendars and aligning plans to go with my dad and my kid. And like, it to me, that is the highest form of entertainment. I don't know if you've ever been to a Harlem Globetrotters game.
When I was a kid, yeah.
It's the same sort of intersection of sports and entertainment. I mean, minor league baseball's on the level, don't get me wrong, but there's definitely an air of entertainment and gimmickry in the air, and, you know, catch-up races between innings and stuff like that. Like, that I love it so much. And it strikes to the wrestling part of my brain and the attention span part of my five-year-old's brain. So we have a big, big summer. Like, that was one of my motivations for getting vaccinated, was so I could go to baseball games with my son and feel safer. And I'm ready to go. I'm so excited.
Yeah. What, I remember we have here in Worcester, I'm from Springfield.
Oh,
I recently moved to Worcester.
There's a new team there, right?
We got
a new team right across from the White Eagle.
Yes. We have. Yes. Right at the White Eagle. They got Polar Field. And
yeah,
that's the
IWTV impresario Gerard Gerling was telling me about the new field.
Yeah. And we have, it used to be in Pawtucket, and where I've done some shows. Pawtucket every year, like the first week of August, would have shows that Big Time Wrestling ran. And we did some there. And then, but now we're having Polar Field here for the Red Sox. It's been their alternate training site up until next week. I remember doing a Pawtucket Red Sox show on a Friday night, and this was, they weren't even playing. This was the full stadium for the show.
And then
in Scranton the next day, I remember
the Rail Riders.
Yes, I worked with, I think they were the Double A team for the Yankees at one point.
Yeah, I think they're Triple A. I think they're now
Triple A.
They
okay.
I think they're Yankees Triple A, Scranton Wilkes-Barre. Yeah.
I worked with PCO there a couple years ago, and the fans,
yeah,
that
hell
was
yeah,
interesting for a casual crowd.
Those empty, the only wrestling at a stadium are weird vibes. Like, I don't know if you remember Jeff Jarrett's Global Force Wrestling did that.
Yes.
I was like 2014 or 15. I did a couple shows in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania and Richmond, Virginia. It was the same weekend. It was like old WWE house show, the exact same match, the exact same finishes. Like, people were saying they're from the hometown. They were berating them. It was awesome. But being on the field on, you know, home plate or the pitcher's mound or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's so strange because it's spread. It's very easily socially distanced. We didn't know that at the time. And like, you know, you can be basically screaming spots across the ring and nobody's any the wiser. It's a weird vibe.
It is. It's almost like the ones before games.
Before is perfect. Happy Hour.
Before is perfect. In 2002, I remember the New Britain Rock Cats, which were the double A team for the Minnesota Twins. I was just first year of working, and we went to set up a ring. It was before the show. It was behind home plate. Justin Morneau and like Luis Rivas are taking batting practice. And I remember I wrestled a guy who was helping train me at the time. And this is, you know, your first year, you're very serious. You don't want to, you're like, this is a baseball stadium, but I want to,
this could be the night. This
took it so, took it so seriously. And I remember he gave me something, and then he had the Rocky the Rock Cat, the mascot, come in, pinned me for the three count. And everyone was like laughing, and that was great. And but I was mortified. I was like embarrassed. I was so, and then looking
you'd be
back,
begging to do that nowadays.
Oh my God. Absolutely. No, absolutely. It's like, holy shit. That was the, maybe one of the best experiences of my wrestling career, life in general, being a baseball fan. But
Dasher Hatfield got to throw out the first pitch at the Reading Fight and Vils game a couple times. And I was like, this is my dream. Like, you have no idea. Like, this is so cool. Like,
dude,
this is so awesome.
Okay. So you mentioned throwing out the first pitch. Like, so Johnny Curtis, who's Fandango in WWE, throwing out the first pitch at Tropicana Field. Matt Taven last year, 2 years ago, throwing out the first pitch at Fenway Park. I texted him.
I think Cabana did it for the White Sox once even, maybe, too.
Right?
Wow. It's crazy. Like, that's it. Like, that's just another day for them. But, like, that's even at the smallest minor league, but, like, that is the – just getting on the field. Like, do you remember when you were a fan and, like, you started going to indies, you like, you could get in the ring and take a picture and a mission. You're, like, you're 14 years old.
Yes.
Like, I can get in the ring. I can touch the ropes. I can smell the turnbuckles.
Yes,
like,
yes.
That's how I was at 31 years old or whatever, getting to, like, be in a dugout. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sitting at the lockers where the guys sit. I'm sitting on the bench, and here's where they spit their seeds and dump their Gatorade. Like, that's so cool to me.
Yeah. I liken that first time that you see when you go to a baseball game for the first time and you walk up the ramp and you see that all of a sudden, boom, you see the green, that beautiful green of the field. It's like the first time when you're a kid and you go to a WWE show and all of a sudden you come through the tunnel and you get into the arena. And it's like, oh my God, there's the ring. It's like real. Like, it's, they're one in the same. And I've always, you know,
there's a great parallel to like big league baseball and wrestling. Like, they're awesome. It's like the biggest band, like U2 is a great band, but like you can see this smaller band in the club by your house. You can see the minor league baseball. Like, they probably need your support more than the major leagues and WWE do. Like, the indies, you know what I mean? Like, so anyone listening to this, like, go to a minor league baseball game, go to your local independent wrestling, go to your local indie comic book store, whatever. Like, especially after the last year they've had, like, I'm sure these organizations and people need your support more than ever. And like, I could talk forever about minor league baseball, but unfortunately, daycare is about to close, Thomas. I'm sorry.
No. Yeah. I could talk baseball all day. I've been, having to watch my, purchases of baseball cards. Cause I've been going, I go on eBay all the time in my spare time now. And I'm like,
it's dangerous. It's right there. It's in your pocket. Your phone is in your pocket.
I know. But I'm like, I'll get out the spending now before the baby comes, and now's the perfect time to do it for that and whatever sleep I can get.
Go on a trip, man. I'm telling you, if you can swing it with your wife and it's okay with her, go on either with her or without her. Go on a trip before the baby's born. Just go somewhere for a couple days. Do nothing. Think about nothing. Go to a baseball game. Lay on a beach. Whatever it is. Just like,
We're going to Rhode Island. We rented a place for a couple nights.
That's perfect. We'll
probably go to.
Everything's going to get a little more. You're going to love your baby. It's going to be the best thing in the world. But everything's going to get a little bit more complicated.
Okay.
Get one out of your system now.
Yeah, we'll definitely hit up Polar Field, and we'll go to The Hartford Yard Goats are about 45 minutes away.
They're in the Harrisburg Senators and Reading Fighting Phils. Like, they're double A. Yeah, yeah.
Is that still the Eastern? Is that still the Eastern League? Okay, because I used to go.
Are the Rock Cats still a team, or did the Rock, no. the Rock Cats became the Yard Goats?
No, it was. I used to go to Norwich Navigators that were the Yankees.
Portland Sea Dogs.
Portland Sea Dogs was in Maine.
New Hampshire Fisher Cats.
Yep. There was New Britain Rock Cats. The New Haven Ravens, which was Colorado. I'm trying to think. Damn it. Harrisburg Senators, I want to say.
Yep.
There was.
They're by me.
Yeah. It's like, but minor league teams changed so much. It was like college football and basketball conferences. They just, you know, they changed leagues too much and affiliations and whatnot.
We should do an end of the season wrap up. End of the after baseball season. We should connect again.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cause baseball, there's a lot more interest in it now. And I was with the fans back. I think baseball is getting a little bit of a resurgence. I'm seeing people buying baseball cards again. And you know, there's more people. Whatever people can be in the stadiums are there, but there just seems to be more of an interest in it. Last year was, let's leave last year with the 94 strike.
It's a wash. Asterisk.
Yes, it's an asterisk. Hey, as we wrap things up here, I wanted to ask you, being a referee, do you ever watch the referees or the umpires in other sports or in baseball, or do you take mannerisms? Obviously the biggest one in wrestling is relating to when you throw, you know, when you throw someone at ringside out and, you know, but
I don't always, but like, I guess it depends. Like, I'm a more animated referee, so I guess I get noticed more often. Like, you notice the more animated umpires, and some people love them and some people hate them, and some people angrily tweet them every Wednesday night. But that's okay, whatever. Like, it rolls off my back. But I do not ever all the time, but like, I have noticed, like when it's the Super Bowl and they have like the referee is mic'd up and is giving the rules, and I was like, sure. Oh man, this is your moment, dude. Like, this is like holding the belt up before the match. This is you're the close up. This is your time, man. Like, good for you. And I did notice, like, there have been more females. They've been integrating more female referees, which I think is great. Like, we have Aubrey in AEW. Like, I think that's awesome. So not all the time, but if something catches my eye, I do like kind of tip my cap to it and like, all right, yeah, one for the officials.
Back at you once again, straight out of Philly, the Black Eyed Peas. Don't know what it is?
This is a lesson of what happens when one wanders into the mind of a...
This is a journey. Sit back and let your mind recline past the line of tension as I blow from the third dimension. Smooth sailing as I start exhaling. A verse upon the notes and quotes from a horn. A verse is born in the nick of time. So I salvage my thoughts and put the mic in my palm. Then let the level of the C-double-O-L excel through the project streets. I'm soaring feet and banging for my set. To let the jazz flow like the end of sax and black Cadillacs. Explaining, I'm entertaining. We pick the brain in and let the balls fall from the sky like it's raining. On heads with the dreads and plats. Some sport the hat with the double X so I flow. So run through the alley in the valley of the shadow of the music as the bass when you hear it. And dance to the grooves cause they elevate the spirit. What I just provided is a brief description and its composition is my definition.
I think I raised the rhyme because the bass line fills me, it soothes me. So keep your eyes on the track or you just might lose me. The piece is right for the picking, so I advise that you choose me. To be the one who gets the task completed, or negative thoughts will be erased and deleted. Sit back and let me enlighten.
It's Black Eyed Peas with the definition of a Black Eyed Pea.